Good morning.
Good evening.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And our pastor was most kind, and he needed somebody, and he looked around, and I was sitting there, and none of these other great preachers were there. I'm not saying that I'm a great preacher, but these others are. I told Brother Jimmy Horton one time, just think of all the great preachers with the same last name. I said, there's Clarence Sexton, there's Ralph Sexton, there's Larry Sexton. And Brother Jimmy said, yeah, man, that's pretty good, 2 out of 3. I've been looking for a song. I wanted to quote from it in the message today, and I couldn't find it in any hymn book, but Sister Donna just found it for me. I'm just going to lay it aside here. I just wanted one little short quote out of it. And I won't do you the service that our pastor does. Pastor's got a pretty good voice. And he sings in his message. But I sing in the shower. And nobody's invited to hear that. But I want to speak to you tonight. Maybe this is more of a testimony than it is a message. And you'll find 2 verses of Scripture, one in the 2 Samuel chapter 22, and also in Psalm chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 3. I'm sorry, verse number 4. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, Psalm 18 and verse number 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Holy Spirit has the right to quote himself, doesn't he? But this happens to come Psalm 18 from the life of David, and also this quote here in 2 Samuel chapter 22. I will call up on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this precious word, and we pray that you would administer this truth to our hearts by the sweet Holy Spirit. And may we grow and rejoice in thee. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. I pray for our pastor tonight. I thank you for him. I pray that you'd bless him wherever he is and whatever he's doing right now. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. I would suppose that many of you are as I am, in that you do not set New Year's resolutions. I used to set goals for my new year. And even in those years that I did not accomplish those goals, at least I would accomplish some percentage of them, and that was better than nothing. But now I don't even set goals. I mean, you know. But instead, at the beginning of the year, I ask God to give me either a verse of Scripture or a specific word that will characterize my life in the coming year. And the Lord gave me a word for this year. And so I want to share that with you. I said this is more of a testimony, perhaps, than it is a message. The one word that God has given me for 2024 is the word praise. And you know, it doesn't matter what I may face out there in the future. Doesn't matter. The word praise will always be in order. Our text tonight has said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When your enemy, old smutty face, Lucifer, the dragon, the devil, Satan, wants to destroy your life, he usually will begin with messing with your mind. He will allow thoughts and imaginations to get out of bounds, get out of proportion. He will allow you to think about things that are out of character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you. We're to have the mind of Christ. And so, as we think about praise, I want to share with you three things for which I have to praise. And I believe that you can relate to each one of these. First of all, I want us to notice praise to God for past blessings. Secondly, praise to God for present blessings. And thirdly, praise to God for future blessings. You say, how can you praise God for a future blessing? You don't know what it's going to be yet. Oh, yes, I do. I found it in the Holy Book. When I think of these three areas of praise in my life, and which I sincerely believe are in your life as well, as I think of these things, I'm going to choose just one blessing for each one of these three. Now you can take a deep breath. Otherwise, we'll be here all night and tomorrow too. But thinking of the blessings that God has given to me, and you think about what I'm talking about and see if you can relate to that in any way, and it may be the very most important thing in your life. All three of these are actually the most important thing in my life. Praise for past blessings. I think about this one every day of my life. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. At least they tell me. I'm getting older and I'm just, you know, thinking about when I was a little boy. Maybe that comes with the package. But when I think about the one most important blessing in my life in the past, I always come up with this answer, and that is my Christian heritage. A godly mother who prayed a drunken father into the family of God, and he became a wonderful Christian. But initially, and greatly supportive of my Christian life, but initially it was just my mother. In the fact that my mother taught me about the things of the Lord. One day she said to me, Larry, come, let's read the Bible. I want you to read the Bible to me. And I said, Mama, I don't know how to read. I haven't even started in school yet. And she said, oh, yes, you can read. I'll show you that you can read. She opened the Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Just coincidentally, that happened to be the text. And word by word, she would point to the word. She would pronounce the word. I would repeat the word. And we practiced and practiced and practiced until I could read the first few verses of Matthew chapter 18. I could not read anything else, but that was enough. But that's just a simple incident in which my mother taught me about the things of God. So that when I was 7 years of age, in an old-fashioned gospel tent meeting, she noticed that the word that she had sown in my heart was beginning to take effect. She saw that I was under conviction. She said, "Larry, do you want to go forward during the invitation time and take Christ as your Savior?" And I said, "Mother, I want to be saved, but I don't want to go forward in front of all these people." And she said, "Well, never mind. Be seated." And she sat beside me and opened her Bible and led me to Christ. How wonderful that really was. My Christian heritage. She taught me things about doctrine that was not popular in the day and time in which I lived. For example, the doctrine of the premillennial return of Christ. A lot of our local pastors did not understand that. Now, we're going way back in time. But they did not understand that. But my mother used to listen to Charles Fuller, the old-fashioned revival hour. She used to listen to M.R. DeHaan on the radio. And she had it down pat. And she taught me. Later, when I was a young man preaching, I had the opportunity to preach in the skating rink on an Easter Sunday morning. And after that, between Sunday school and the morning service at our church, my pastor came to me and I had related, you know, the resurrection of Christ. We too are going to have a resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, so forth. He said, "Well, Larry, I see that you are a premillennialist." And in my youth and being untactful and not knowing how to properly respond, I said, Well, yes, yes, of course. And then I said the bad thing. I said, "Aren't you?" And he said these words. I can quote them. They impacted my brain so strongly until he said, "I used to be," I'm quoting verbatim, "but since I have been to the seminary, I don't know what to believe." A bell rang in my brain. And I determined, okay, that's good enough for me. I won't go to seminary. But how wonderful the Christian heritage that I had, that my mother taught me, and later my dad. My dad had a wonderful experience in which he quit drinking whiskey and in which he began to read the Bible. And I know I'm limited for time, so I can't go into all the details on this one. But my dad began to read and read and read. The pastor came down to our house one time and tried to sell my daddy a book, Hurlbut's Stories of the Bible. And my dad read that book. He was growing as a Christian very slowly in those days. But when he got through reading that book, he said to Mom, "Get me a Bible." And she bought him a Bible. And he took the box and wrote tithe on it. The Bible box. The Bible box that the Bible had come in. He wrote tithe on it. And he put it in the shipper robe and in the hat box of the shipper robe where he used to put his whiskey. And I've seen my dad take whiskey out of that hat box and drink. And now he has the Bible in his heart and he has the box that the Bible came in the shipper robe with tithe written on it. There was a great transformation that took place in the life of my family. I look back at my Christian heritage and I thank God. The most important thing in my life, and I guess the thing that makes this so accentuated in my life, is to see young people today that are running wild. And I think, oh, my mother and my father saved me from that. Thank God for it. Maybe you did not have a good Christian heritage. Maybe it's been differently, but maybe some of you have. And if you did not have a Christian heritage, at least maybe you can give someone a wonderful Christian heritage. It does not guarantee health, longevity, or prosperity. But it does guarantee the most important thing of all, and that is my privilege as a child of God. And nothing less. I look around at our nation, and I grew up in an age when we were all patriotic. And it breaks my heart to see where our nation is going. Our nation is going to hell. And you know that. And what a sad thing that is. However, we're looking for something far greater than what we have down here. We may not be able to change things with an election. America needs a good dose of old-fashioned gospel preaching and a good dose of old-fashioned repentance. So I praise God tonight for my Christian heritage that determines who I am. Someone saved by grace. Number two, I praise God for present blessings. And again, I choose only one. And that is my privilege of service. When I was 10 years of age, I had the privilege and the fortune of being baptized into a Baptist church that preached the gospel and correctly observed the ordinances, not sacraments. That's a deviation from truth. And that's a quick road to hell if you believe in sacraments rather than in Christ. And I was taught in my Baptist church that the ordinances spoke of the gospel of Christ, salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so in my local church, I had the opportunity to become a servant. Did you know that the will of God for this dispensation is the local church? And sadly, not everything that has a signboard out front that says church is truly, indeed, a true scriptural church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my privilege of service determined what I am, a servant of God and nothing more. I'm a saint of God and nothing less. I am a servant of God and nothing more. This does not guarantee success by the world's standards, but it does give us an opportunity to be faithful, and is a source of strength to serve. Would you turn quickly in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When I was a very young preacher, in my 20s, early 20s, and this has to be about 60 years ago, I heard a message at a Bible camp, at a Bible conference, and the message was based on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. And that message and that verse made such an impression upon my mind and upon my life, I never got away with it. I don't remember all the illustrations the preacher gave, but I do remember his outline, and that's enough for me. The verse says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Now this is not salvation, this is service. Imagine being in the company of our Father and of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord Jesus Christ in our world. Now the three basic points of that outline that I heard that impressed me so are as follows. Know you are called. That doesn't mean you're a preacher or a missionary. Every child of God is called. I know of some preachers in other countries, and perhaps you're in the United States too, who expect their children to go into full-time Christian ministry. I never required that of my children. I believe that a man or a woman in one of the other trades or doing something else with their life is just as much in the will of God as a pastor and as a missionary. And sometimes they're in a greater position to win souls to Christ than even those who are in full-time Christian service. No, you are called. And I'm saying to you, you are called. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And number two, know who called you. Don't ever get away from that. Maintain such a close relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Never get away from that. Know who called you. Stay close to Him. And number three in the man's outline was, know that He is faithful. Now, when you have these three facts grounded in your soul, you can swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk singing Amazing Grace, and you will know that He is worthy to be praised, and so shall you be saved from your enemies. Sadly, I heard a man give a very morbid testimony many years ago. He told about the fact that he had asked God for something, and he thought that he had believed God and on the biblical promise of prayer and faith. He expected God would do that very thing, and it did not come through. He took his Bible. He walked out of the house and across the pasture and up to the fence and tossed his Bible on the ground and said, God did not keep His promise. I asked, and I believed, and it didn't happen. I hope none of you have ever felt like that. But in case the devil were to mess with your mind and cause you to think things that you should not think about God, let me tell you something about prayer and faith and getting the answer. There are two kinds of promises that come from God in the Holy Word. One of those promises is an unconditional promise, just like God gave to Abraham. Abraham messed up, first class, but God kept His promise. And even to this late hour, He's keeping His promise with the descendants of Abraham in the land of Israel. Unconditional promises. You don't worry about those. The fact that God said repentance and faith based on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, nothing to worry about. That promise is kept. But then there are conditional promises in the Word of God. And a conditional promise is something that God will not do until the conditions are met. Know you're called. Know who called you. Know He is faithful. And by all means, do not discredit God and do not throw His holy word over the fence, onto the ground, simply because you don't understand the difference between the promises of God. We come to number three. And this has to do with future blessings. And again, I choose only one. Future blessings. I want to confess to you that recently I have found the verse of Scripture in the Bible that has so greatly affected my life and my thinking. It's a verse in the Bible that I've read so many times before, but I never did really see it. And I don't think that I can say anything that will cause you to see it. Hopefully you will see this great truth as the Lord shall open your mind and your understanding. I praise God tonight, not just for past and present blessings, but I praise God for a future blessing that is so described in the Holy Scriptures. And that has to do with the ultimate fulfillment of His will. I've been down in Mexico, and I've taught a class of 17 young men and women the Gospel of John. And this text comes from the Gospel of John. If you would please open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. In my personal opinion, the most beautiful thing in all of the Holy Scriptures is the wonderful relationship between God the Father and God the Son. We see it through the Old Testament. We see it especially in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, where Christ is the personification of wisdom, and where He, there in that chapter, relates His relationship with the Father before the foundation of the world. Way back yonder, God, who is eternal, has been eternal in the past and will be eternal in the future. And here our Lord Jesus is praying. He knows what's immediately ahead of Him. And He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father. Sometimes when God has given you a spirit of prayer by the Holy Spirit, and you begin and you end a prayer with that one word, you have come to the throne of grace and you are in His presence and you say, Father. And God is there with you just as you are there with Him at the throne of grace. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. What is glory? What is glory? We read this Bible, all through the Bible we read this about glory, glory, glory. What is glory? If you will notice there in verse 5, very carefully, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us what glory is. And now, O Father, glorify me, Thou me, with Thine own self. What is glory? Glory is the manifest presence of God. As it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, glory in the church. throughout all ages, world without end. That is the will of God. Oh, I wish that we would experience it here at Tiptonia Baptist Church every service. And to a degree, I'm sure we do. But there are special times when the manifest presence of God is so rich and so strong and so sweet. Unto that is glory. As the songwriter says, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory. Glory for me. And this one verse that has so affected my life, I cannot get away from it, is found in chapter 17 of John and verse number 24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. That is the physical presence of God. By the Holy Spirit, we enjoy His spiritual presence because the Spirit of God indwells us and lives within us. But we're looking forward to that hope, that promise, that assurance that one day we will be in His physical presence. Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. And if you can relate to what I'm about to say, I'm ashamed of you also. I'm ashamed that you and I will listen to the news and we'll see what the radicals are doing. We'll see what the Israeli protesters are doing. We'll see what our Senate leaders are doing and how many of our leaders are leading us away from that patriotic America that we used to know and carrying our nation literally to hell, when I ought to be thinking about this verse right here. You think I don't have as much time left as you do. And if the world stands and Jesus doesn't come, you're probably right. But that's to my advantage and not yours. But dear friend, we have such a prospect of glory. And it could begin tonight. Father, I will. Do you want the will of Christ to be done? I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John the Apostle saw the pre-resurrection glory of Christ in John 1 and verse 14. He saw the post-resurrection glory of Christ in John 20, 19 to 20. He saw the ascended glory now in the presence of the Father, the ascended glory of Christ in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And soon, you and I are going to see the ascended glory of Christ in His presence. Now, in closing, let me share with you just exactly what you and I, as believers in Christ, are going to experience in the millisecond of the coming of Christ in the rapture. Have you wondered what it's going to be like? When I was a kid, I used to worry about it. It was frightening. I've gotten over that a little bit. But here's what's going to be in your uppermost mind and thoughts the very millisecond of the rapture. It's found in Jude, verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Notice the next two, three words. With exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. And a very similar passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Do you want to know how to keep your enemy away from you? Give your life to praise. Think on those things of the blessings that God has given you, past, present, and future. May God bless you. Thank you for listening. Brother, would you come and conclude our service, please?
Amen. That's a blessing, wasn't it? We are blessed. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved or just recently saved, I believe you can relate to everything what he said tonight. And we thank the Lord for the message and the messenger. And we need to remember our past blessings and what he's doing for us now and what he's going to do for us in the future. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. When I shall look upon his wonderful face, that will be glory for me. I echo those words that was given tonight. Appreciate it. Church, we're very fortunate to have Brother Lair here. And his dear wife. And everyone here. But I think we're very fortunate. We're blessed. And God has blessed their ministries and what they're doing and continue to do. I appreciate them so very much. I know you do too. Continue praying for them. Brother Larry just doesn't stop. He says keeps on going. We thank the Lord for it, Miss Judy too. We thank the Lord for them. Let's everyone stand. Let's remember this tonight. And let's be here Sunday morning, looking forward to the Lord's Day, looking for what God's got for us here. And again, if you don't come, you're going to miss a blessing. Right? So we need to be in God's house. Let's remember that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the evening tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the songs, the words of your messenger tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Larry as he gave a glimpse of his own life and his testimony. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for him and are continuing to do. And, Lord, what you'll do for each one of us if we just trust you tonight. Now, Lord, guide us. Help each individual that was mentioned or not even mentioned because we don't know the names of them all tonight on our prayer list. Be with them in a very special way. I pray for our pastor, Ms. Larb. Help them, and may they have safety coming home this weekend, we pray. And bless our pastor as he prepares for this Sunday morning, too. Well, thank you for it. In your precious name, amen. God bless you.